continue to serve in the palace. The speech was in my mind for days, a persuasive line of reasoning I had learned from Cicero. Father would not refuse me, I knew it. When I appeared before him, there was quite a lot of activity. Dancers off to one side, musicians on the other, soldiers standing around. Mark Antony passed me in the corridor on his way out. He dipped his head in greeting, but said nothing. I wanted to talk to him, about anything or nothing, but this obviously was not the time. When Father saw me, he opened his arms wide and smiled. "Oh, Cleopatra," he said, "you grow more lovely by the hour. What is it you desire, my daughter?" I stood near a thick marble column and took a breath. But before my words began, I heard soldiers marching down a hall toward us. Father looked up at the Roman leading the procession and beckoned him to step forward. I turned to look, but was not prepared for the sight awaiting me. Had I been just a girl, I would have fainted. Even so, I placed my hand against the column to steady myself. Blood spilled onto the mosaic floor from a bronze shield that was being carried as a tray. On this tray was the severed head of my sister, Berenice.
That was a pretty dramatic last scene. Imagine how it would feel to actually witness it. Although Cleopatra has had her problems with her sister, it must have been a shock to see Berenice's head on a platter, and to realize that the king would actually kill one of his children. Let's pick up the story at the top of page 167 with the entry for 1 Maius.
You're at the end of this disc. Please insert disc 5 into your CD player and begin reading at the top of page 167.